The Mishnah discussed a case where a person left home for Shabbos. And the question is, when the dweller is absent, and we are left with a dira, b'loy balam, without an owner who is present there, is that considered to be a proper dira, which would necessitate his participation in the Erev Chatzeres, within that area of the dwelling, or perhaps the fact that he's absent, a dira b'loy balam is loy shma dira. It's not considered to be a proper makam dira, since the dweller is not present on Shabbos. So we have a four-way machlekes. Four shittas. Rav Meir holds, dira, even without a balam, is considered to be a proper dira. His absence is irrelevant. Then we have three shittas, who all hold that the absence of the owner removes the need to make Erev Chatzeres, but they hold this shita in varying degrees. Rabbi Yehuda holds, if he left town for Shabbos, then lo yishma dira, he doesn't have to join the Erev. Rabbi Shimon says, even if he's still in town, he's spending Shabbos elsewhere within this town, that's sufficient to remove the need for the Erev Chatzeres. Rabbi Yossi says, even if he left town entirely, it only works when he's a Yisrael, and I'm pretty certain he's not going to resurface on Shabbos. But if it's a Nachri, he is Oyser, because perhaps he's going to return on Shabbos. So we have three Shittas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, and let's try to understand what's the basis of these various opinions. So I saw some of Farshim say like this. When a person is absent on Shabbos, there are actually two elements here at play, two ways to look at it. There's the practical aspect of it. Physically, he's elsewhere. He's in a different town. He's not in his home for Shabbos. Then there's the personal aspect, the mental, the person's perspective. Mentally, he's removed from his home. He's spending Shabbos elsewhere. He's not personally connected any longer to his previous home throughout the Shabbos. So there's the practical, physical aspect of his absence, and then there's the personal, that personal disconnect from his former place of residence. So the question is, which one is the determinant factor here? Rabbi Yehuda holds, physical absence is what determines the halacha. Therefore, if a person is out of town, he's not in the vicinity of his home, that's considered to be dira below balim, and it's not considered to be a dira. Rabbi Shimon says, you don't need to have that distance, that physical distance from his home. Even just a personal aspect can go ahead and turn it into a dira b'lei balam. Even if he's still in town, he's within striking range to his home. He's not physically absent completely, but since in his mind he's no longer home, as Rav Shimon says, shekvar hisiami liboy, in his heart he's disconnected from his home. So there's that personal element of disconnect that is sufficient to be considered dira b'lei balim. There's no need for him to join the Erev. Rabbi Yossi says, both aspects need to be present. Number one, the physical, the complete physical absence needs to be in a different town, far away from his home. Number two, in the person's mindset, we have to see that disconnect. Therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, if it's a Yisrael, then not only is he physically absent, but in his mind, he's also disconnected as well. He's not coming back. Whereas in Nachri, although physically he's out of town, but regarding his personal perspective, his mental connection, he's still somewhat connected to his home. He can still come back on Shabbos. And therefore, since both elements aren't really present in absolute, it won't work. So conclusion, when it comes to a person being absent, dira b'lei balam, there are two elements. The physical absence, the mental disconnect. Rabbi Yehuda holds, physical absence is sufficient. Rabbi Shimon says, even if he's personally disconnected, that's also fine. So even if he's in this town, that's still okay. Provided that he's by his son-in-law, where he's going to make it safely through Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi requires both elements. Therefore, number one, he needs to be out of town, to be physically disconnected, and also mentally disconnected. And therefore, only if it's a Yisrael, and we know he's personally disconnected from his home, it's considered to be dira b'lei balim, and lo yishma dira. We proceeded with the halacha of a bar situated between two chatzeres. Where the Gemara tells us that you go ahead and construct a mechitza to create that separating indicator of separation, And as the Gemara tells us, although it's a mechitza tfluya, it's a suspended mechitza which doesn't really reach the water, it's going to work. And the Gemara concludes because it's a kula, the halacha applied to water. But generally speaking, according to most shittos, a suspended mechitza will not work when it comes to anything other than water. Now, how do I understand this? Is it a mechitza? Let it work always. Is it not functioning as a mechitza? Then how could it be applied to water? Is it or isn't it? So if we take a look at the Lashon of Rambam, Rambam says that since water is a derabbanan, so therefore only a heker, some sort of indicator, is sufficient. Now, the Mefarshim explained the Rambam like this. When it comes to dry land, which is considered to be a makim, it has a din of a makim, it's ground, it's a place, then the mechitza there needs to create a separation within the place itself. On the makim, it needs to be firmly planted on the ground. You can't have a suspended mechitza which doesn't relate to the makim below. The makim is still considered to be one continuous entity. If the mechitza doesn't reach the ground below. As opposed to water. Water is not a makim. Water is something you use. You draw it, swim in it. It's not something. It's not a makam. It's more like an object than a place. Therefore, over here the mechitza doesn't have to relate to the actual water. It's something that you use. The point is, let's create a separation between the usage areas. So as long as you create a separateness within the usage aspect of the water, that's enough. So mechitza tluya does that because once you have a suspended mechitza which points downward towards the water, that sends a message. Look, this side is used by this person. That side has a different usage area. So you separate between the usage areas within the water. And that's enough. So in that case, even a mechitza tluya is sufficient. It creates that indication of separateness, of separate usage areas. And therefore, it works according to all shittas. Now it's interesting that in Shulchan Aruch we find that this halacha of mechitza tluya, which can be applied to water, only applies when the water is 10 tefachim in depth. Now the obvious kasha is that if you learn simply that it's a halacha applied to when we speak about din derabbanan, like a karmelis, then it's difficult to understand what's the difference if it's 10 tefachim or less, because sometimes even a body of water which is less than 10 tefachim in depth is considered a karmelis. You have this large size, like even if it's less than 10 tefachim in depth, it can be considered a karmelis. So it's still pertaining to dinim derabbanan, mechitzas derabbanan. So if the chacham applied a kula every time it's derabbanan, so why wouldn't it work by this shallow body of water? So it appears from the Shulchan Aruch that the reason, as we just said, the reason that mechitzas tluya works by water is not simply because it's derabbanan. It works because you're not trying to separate between two mekaymes. Water is not a makay; it's just water. As long as you separate the usage areas, that's enough. And a mechitza tluya does that. It indicates separateness, separate usage areas within the water. And therefore it works. So Shulchan Aruch holds, this is only if it has a din, has a status of a makim of water. Has a status of water, not a makim. That's only if it's 10 tefachim deep. Then we consider this like a body of water. And not like an ordinary makim, like dry land. And therefore, an incomplete mechitza can suffice to separate the usage areas within that water. However, if it's less than 10 tefachim in depth, it doesn't have a din of mayim. Halachically, it has a din like dry land. Therefore, it must conform with the guidelines of makim, like ordinary dry land, and it needs a proper mechitza. Mechitza, which arrives all the way down onto the makim to create a separation between one makim and the other. Now, the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yehuda, however, holds that a mechitza tluya will work even on dry land. But perhaps he only allows it by a ruba chatzeres derabbanan. Now, the simple way to learn is because it's derabbanan, so he's lenient. But perhaps we can say that when the Gemara says ruba chatzeres derabbanan, the Gemara is being precise in its language, that Rabbi Yehuda's allowance to use this suspended mechitza when it comes to the, for instance, the bar between the two chatzeres, is specifically because it's within the context of a Ruvei Chatzeres, which doesn't require separating Mekoymais. What's the point of Erev Chatzeres? If it's a jointly used area, then you need to make an Erev. Unless you separate the users. So the point is, the goal is not to separate the Mekoymais. It is enough to separate the users. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda holds that even if it's over dry land, but if you're just trying to accomplish something for Ruvei Chatzeres, meaning to separate users from one another, then even a Mechitza Tluya will work, which will accomplish that, which will create two separate and distinct usage areas.